you have your Bible for a few minutes, I want to talk to you about spiritual warfare, spiritual warriors. When Jimmy used to visit us at the place near the fairground, he would always say, "How you doing, soldier?" while looking down on me, and I thought, I'm okay. How you doing, soldier? I want to ask you a question this morning. How you doing, soldier? Because we are at war. Wars and rumors of wars are not just a physical thing that's occurring. There's a real war. There's a culture war for sure that's going on. And we need to vote accordingly because this war is serious and it's showing up in our schools, it's showing up on the media, it's showing up until it's absolutely put a clamp on Hollywood. There are producers and actors that are highly upset because of the woke movement. They won't allow them to express their art. It's affecting everyone. It's infecting everybody that they possibly can. There's a culture war, and part of it involves the political arena. Christians need to vote for people that express values that we know is good for this nation. However, there are Christians who do not vote accordingly. Historically, that has not been the case. They have voted for that gave them a little more money, a little less taxes, a little this, a little that, some kind of material consideration, because they don't understand the spiritual battle that is occurring. Some of you get up and you have a good day and you have a good time in the Lord and your faith is triggered by the Word of God, and yet you seem to do two steps forward and one step back, or one step forward and two steps back, and you find yourself back under this heaviness. So if you're not a soldier of the cross, if you're not engaging in effective spiritual warfare, you will never keep the victory. Never keep the victory. No one can prop you up long enough, or hold you up, or lift you up long enough. Because ultimately, when you go home by yourself. Yeah, you may go home with someone, but ultimately, it's you and God. And God wants you to come out of this mediocre, this kind of haphazard, loose-lived Christianity, because you have been called and highly qualified to fight and win spiritual warfare. You say, "Well, I'm not into that kind of thing." Yeah, you are. You may not be winning, but you're in it. You may not be casting out devils, but you're going to have to deal with devils. You may not have a deliverance ministry, but there will be times that you need to take authority over the enemy of your soul. You have that authority. You have the authority that the devil knows that you have, and that's why he fights you like he does. If the morale is down in an army, it doesn't matter how well equipped they are anymore. If they see themselves as not winning, there's no point in fighting any further, we can't win, we'll never win, it doesn't matter what kind of equipment you give them. The reason the Ukraine, other than people praying, because there's a strong Christian element in the Ukraine, other than people praying in the Ukraine and people praying for them, their soldiers are fighting for their homeland. They are highly motivated and their morale is very, very high. The Russian soldiers, however, their morale is low, very low. They have some good equipment too. You'd think Russia was ahead of the Ukraine, but it's not even about what they have to fight with. It's the attitude of the warrior. Are you a soldier of the cross? Are you a spiritual warrior? Are you fighting the good fight of faith? Are you able to fight for the faith effectively? Are you able to intercede for others? Do you even bother because you don't see yourself as qualified? Let me say some things to you real quick. I want to raise your morale today. What was it? Uncle Sam needs you when they were trying to get people to join the military, and he's pointing right at whoever's looking. If God is omnipotent, He's all powerful, but He has chosen to work through people. He's chosen to work through us. That was His choice. He made that choice. God needs you to pray. God needs you. He needs you. Not in the needy sense of He can do anything He wants to do, but He has chosen to work through us. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven and turn from their wicked way. I will hear from heaven. I will heal their land. He could do that. He's Almighty God, but He has chosen. He said, I won't do anything. Here's His choice He made. I won't do anything except I reveal it first to my prophets. If I'm going to get my word in the earth through them, and then I'm going to back it up and manifest it. But that's why He said to ancient Israel, and He said to Israel of old, I rose up early, and I sent my prophets unto you. He told Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that stone the prophets and kill them that are sent to you. If you'd listen to them, how many times would I have taken you under my wing as a mother hen does her chicks, but you wouldn't let me? How many times would God have stepped in? God has chosen to work through people. People just like you and people just like me. You have an enemy called the devil. You're either winning the battle over him or you're sidelined. What's the point in praying? I'm nobody. I'm nothing. Seriously? Seriously, you're nobody and you're nothing? What is the point of believing that God could do anything through me? I'm over 30. Is anybody here over 30? Is anybody here under 30? Boy, if you could have my body for one day, you could appreciate being your... How old are you? 20 who? 24? If you could have my body one day. Oh, man. Somebody give me an aspirin. But if I could have yours one day, boy, I'd clean off the roof. I'd wax my car. Hallelujah. I'd hand wax it. I'd do a good job on it. The devil wants God's people to see themselves like Israel saw themselves when they went in to the promised land. They went into the promised land. They came back with an evil report. You know what it made it evil? Because it lacked any faith in God. It was what we can do in and of ourselves with our strength. There was no faith in God in that report. They went over, they saw walled cities, and the devil will exaggerate whatever your circumstance. He will always exaggerate it. He will try to make it bigger than God and bigger than your faith. They said, we saw walled cities. Jericho is what they saw. And those cities were walled. Listen to this exaggeration. Walled up to heaven. They went all the way into the atmosphere up in heaven. There's no way we can take that city. We saw giants in the land. The sons of Anak, a giant. We saw more than one giant we would have to face. What happened when a shepherd boy faced a giant with faith in God? What happened to that one giant? can you say, man? What happened when a new group of people with faith went across Jordan and faced Jericho? What happened to those impregnable walls? They fell down flat. Can you say, man, when they did what by faith? They walked around it in obedience, but on the seventh time around, they were told to shout, not because they saw anything occurring, but because God had told Joshua, say, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Yeah, he did. Glory to God. And you know what? God told him to look at Jericho differently. I want you to see it through the eye of faith. I have purpose to give it to you, and I want you to believe that I'm able to give it to you. So here's how God told him. When he showed him Jericho, said, I want you to take that city. And he's looking at the same wall that those other people saw that brought the evil report. The very same circumstance. And God told him, see, in the King James, see, not just look at it, but look and listen to me right here now. See, I have, not I will, I have. Before you even go over to take it, I want you to know I have given you that city and that all the people who would try to defend it. I've already put it in your hands. Now you go get it. You don't go get the victory. Actually, you get the victory by taking God at His word that it's already yours. And that's why He told them on the seventh time around, shout. Now God's people shout when the victory comes. But God's people are not good at shouting because God has given you the victory in Christ. Amen. We're waiting for something to happen. We're waiting for God to move the obstacle. We're waiting God to do something. See, I've given you the city. And can you imagine the insults that were being hurled while they walked around? Nobody had ever been able to take that city. They felt so safe and so secure. Archaeologists have found what they believed to be the ruins of that city. And if it is indeed Jericho, they measured the width of the wall, the thickness, not just the height. And this is what they said about it, according to the internet. Said you could run 6 chariots abreast. Can you imagine how thick? In other words, you can't take your battering ram and break it down. But they didn't have to. Amen. That you couldn't scale it, but they didn't have to. When they, by faith, that God had given them the city, shouted as if it was theirs already. You say, I'm not going to be dishonest and shout when I don't see anything or feel anything. But we walk by faith and not by... Well, what is our faith in? Better yet, who is our faith in? There's a mighty army today with mighty weapons that the gates of hell cannot prevail against, that are sitting idle. That's why organized religion is failing. You can't deal with the devil. You just can't deal. You can get a psychologist that went to a Bible college, but he's got a degree in psychology, so he throw him on the staff, and what he's going to do is try to figure out, are you an A person, a B person, are you a melancholy, are you this, and let's address it through what I learned when I got my degree in psychology. Amen. You know what you need? You know what they used to do with people that were in that condition? They used to have altars in the church. Can you imagine? They had altars. They have counselors that have a degree in order to do that. I was told when I was going through burnout, said, well, why don't you get a degree and become a counselor? You know, you don't have to stand in the pulpit and have all the Christians, you know, some love you, some hate you, some don't like you, some could care less. And get out of that. Just get on the staff of a big old church. Go get you a degree. And I thought, you know, I've been dependent on the Holy Ghost so long. I don't think a degree would help me. Amen. I think I'm hopelessly dependent on the Holy Ghost. Amen. This young lady wouldn't be here right now today if the devil had his way. And if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost, the devil would have his way. But thank God you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I love a missionary, a guy that he came up in Pentecost. He preached at many of the conventions at Baton Rouge, Louisiana, back at Jimmy Swaggart's church. And he Charles Greenaway was his name. He always said, "Tell me about it. Tell me about it." He was talking about all of the newfangled ways that we are trying to address spiritual problems. He was an old school preacher. Amen. He said, "My mom and daddy said we went to church in a wagon. We rode up in a wagon, rode home in a wagon back in that day," and said, "My mom and daddy had a big issue. I was too young to know what it was. But they asked to stay after church and have the pastor counsel them." So here's this guy out in, you know, where they're using wagons and they don't have universities to tell you how to do all this, and he's not got a PhD in this and a DD in that, but he's got the Holy Ghost and he's got the Word of the Living God and he's got the wisdom that comes from the Word of the Living God, and he knows his sheep. And he said, "Now, John," he said, "I remember I was sitting in the front row when they were standing up front talking to him." He said, "John, I know you. And Marty, I know you too. And I know you both love God. And I know you know it's not God's will that you walk in unforgiveness and don't resolve this issue between you. Okay, here's the 8-step thing that you need to do. Here's a book. Read it. Come back next week and we'll go through the book chapter by chapter." He said, "John, I want you to get down right there and I want you to pray till God gets any anger, anything out of your heart but the love of God for your wife. I want you to get down on your knees right here. You pray over here. And Marty, I know you love God. And I want you to kneel right here and ask God to take anything in your heart, any bitterness, any resentment, any unforgiveness out of you that you can love John like you loved him when you married him." He said they both got down on their knees. He said about 30 minutes later, said they began to praise God through tears running down their cheeks. And he said, "I watched my mama and my daddy on their knees without standing up, on their knees, walk toward each other on their knees and embrace with tears running down their cheeks, and the whole thing was resolved there and then by the Spirit of God." When people didn't depend so much on the arm of flesh, even religious flesh, but they were dependent on the Holy Spirit and they were obedient to God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What happened? Well, how did we lose that kind of devotion to Christ? How did we lose that kind of work of the Holy Spirit in the heart and in the life? Amen. We've come to a day when organized religion is failing. And when we try to organize it within the Pentecostal ranks, it's going to fail just like it does in the Anglican Church and the Methodist Church and the other churches that are compromising. Organized religion is going to continue to fail. It cannot meet the need without the move of God and the move of the Holy Spirit. You think you don't have anything to offer. The Wales revival, which was so phenomenal, it was wrought by the Spirit of God in the Hesperides Islands. You know how it came about? Coal miners that worked all day from daylight till dark in the coal mines begin to fast and pray. Now, I'm going to tell you, you need energy. You load 16 ton, what do you get? Another day older, deeper in debt. I owe my soul to the company store. My wife lived in Lynch, Kentucky, Harlan County. Her daddy's a coal miner. There's one store, and it's not a Walmart. It is owned by the coal company. You work for the coal company. They pay you off with script, not just money, so you can go out of town and get your stuff. But you can spend it at the company store. And they have a house you can rent, a duplex house that you can rent part of it. Everything made by the coal miner went back in to the coal company. And I'm going to tell you, it took a man-sized man to go down in that old place and use a pickaxe back then to dig the coal out of the seam and ship it to the top where there's tracks. How can these Welsh coal miners fast and pray for revival? How could they do that? Why would they do that? And why would God use them to be the vanguard of this thing through intercessory prayer? And not just them, but ladies, older ladies. I read about them during that revival in the Hesperides. They were having afternoon tea. I miss Sister Ruth, because did anybody ever attend her house and have one of those teas where they, you know, the whole... You drink tea and you hold your cup and this little finger up, you know, to be proper. Well, that's what I saw in the movies. I'm afraid to hold too many fingers up. I might hold the wrong one and get into big trouble. All right. I'm watching you. I got my eye right on you. There is a wrong one, right? See, he just scratched his eye with it. I thought... Watch out now. Be careful. No, he didn't. You just use any finger you want. I'm telling you today, these three ladies having tea. We need a revival. We need a move of God. We got children that are lost. We got friends that are lost. They're on their way to hell. If there's not a move of God, they're going to end up in hell. We need a revival. We need God to move. They begin to pray. They said as they were praying, on the table with the porcelain and their teacups and saucers, said the table began to vibrate. They were not trying to levitate a table. They were praying to a mighty, holy God that was manifesting himself to encourage them to keep on believing and keep on praying. They needed the power and presence of God to move, and they knew you can't get it through programs and professionals. It can only come by the Holy Spirit. And there was a shaking, and they said the teacups and the saucers were chattering. There were shakings, mighty moves of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit was given, there came a sound from heaven, like a mighty rushing wind. Some of you have the Holy Spirit, the very one that shook the Hesperides, the very one that shook that little house and shook that table is living in you. What if he got loose in you? But if the morale of the army with all of this weaponry is so low that we dare not. That's what Paul told Timothy. He's discouraged. He's discouraged. He's preached under the anointing, had hands laid on, gifts of the Spirit were imparted. And people have left him to go out over here after something false. And he's disgusted and he's discouraged. And Paul writes him a letter and says God didn't give you the spirit of fear. This has nothing to do with some demon from the netherworld. I'm sure there is a spirit of fear, but this was his own spirit. You have a spirit and a soul and a body. And the Bible said if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. The adversity didn't make it small, it exposed that was already there. You have an adversary. You're going to have adversity. Great doors open, many adversaries. Hell knows when God is doing something, and he knows, they know who he's doing it with and through. If you've ever prayed a prayer of intercession, it messed up something the devil wanted to do. Amen. It had that kind of power. Paul, the apostle Paul, was so effective that an emissary from Satan, a special agent, that's what it means in the Greek, was sent by the devil from hell with one specific objective. Discourage that man. Deceive that man. If possible, destroy that man. But he couldn't discourage him. He couldn't deceive him. And he couldn't destroy him. So after everything he tried to do, oh, he had shakings at times. He besought the Lord thrice because of all the trouble this emissary was causing him. And he saw it as an obstacle to his ministry. And he wanted God to just deal with that and get this thing out of the way. I have no doubt that not only did he pray to God, but he took authority over the devil. And the devil didn't come to him personally. He used people. That's why I appreciated what you put up on the dead. He used people. Our argument ultimately is never, ever, ever with flesh and blood. We argue with flesh and blood, but it's not with flesh and blood. But powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places, and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Can you say amen? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The church forgot somewhere along the line. Can you say amen? We've got the best programs, the best entertainment on Sunday, the best praise teams, the best equipment. We've got fog for the young people, amen, to add to hold the attention. We've got young musicians that can play, can really get it out. We've got the best sound systems. We've got all kinds of pyrotechnics. We've got people with enthusiasm jumping around on the platform trying to get people to get involved. We've got programs, something for everybody. As one church said, we've got so many ways, we know you'll like some of them. Can you say amen? Guy came to our church, to our home, to do a little tile job for us. Cover up some old floor with some nice tile in a bathroom. Came to our house, and he was going to a mega church. He said, you know, we've got 1,500 events for next year. If you count them all up, all the events for everybody. And I thought, well, that's... what am I supposed to do? Just say hoorah for that? What is the result of all of that? Bottom line, how many people is going to come to Jesus as a result of these events? We're going to have this well-known Christian comedian come. Be a lot of people come out for that. And there's nothing wrong with entertainment, but don't blend it with worship. Don't blend it with worship. These coal miners begin to pray. These ladies that met together begin to pray. And when you begin to pray and you have the Holy Ghost, Paul said, I will pray with my understanding. I'll pray with the Spirit. If you begin to pray with what you know to pray, the Holy Spirit then will come many times. But if we're not allowing for that, that's what Timothy was doing. All of this that he had was all pent up in him. And because of discouragement, God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Stir up the gift that is in you. Number one, recognize just because it ain't working don't mean it can't work. That's not King James, amen. That's Robert Venable. Come on, just because it ain't working don't mean it can't work. Just because it ain't working for you or in you doesn't mean it's not in you. Because once he comes in you, he comes to stay. If you don't turn your back on Christ, then literally, listen, he will abide with you when you're on top, feeling great. No, he will abide with you forever through thick and thin. Can you say amen? Paul was reminding Timothy, you're anointed, man. You have no business sitting down with the poor old me's. You're anointed. You're appointed and you're anointed. He said, stir up the gift that is in you by the laying on of hands. When you were put forth into ministry, stir up the gift that is in you. And then I looked and I thought, how's he want him to do that? I looked up the word stir in the Greek, and the word stir comes from a word that means this in the Greek. It's more than one word to capture it. To fan into flame a fire that threatens to go out because of neglect. Discouraged people neglect prayer. They neglect prayer because they don't see the point of it. And you have not, primarily, you can ask amiss, but the primary reason is not expressing your faith enough to even bother praying, because it's not, don't pray for kings and authority. Who are you? You're not Oral Roberts. You're not, I don't even know who to name anymore. There's not enough anointed people left to name. You're not Robert Venable. Somebody said, I'm glad I'm not. Well, just keep that to yourself. Amen. He's counting on you sitting like a bump on the log while we're at war. And you have armor, his armor, to go to battle in. But if you don't have faith in your heart and you are demoralized and you've lost morale, you won't do it and you won't utilize it. And that was the purpose of 1 and 2 Timothy. Oh, I remember when I was so down, I was lower than a snake in a wagon rut. Amen, as the old timers used to say. And I thought, boy, where's my Paul? Where's my Paul? Where's someone that's going to write Robert today? I even put in a prayer request to our fellowship back then San Diego, California, still in California. And I think it was how many months later I got a reply to say, it was months later I got some little something that said, we got your prayer request, we're praying for you. And I think it was like 90 days or something, and I already got through the thing with the help of God, you know. And honestly, I was in bad shape, and I needed somebody to stand there with me and uplift me. If God ever tells you to say something positive to Brother Venable, don't hesitate to do it. Well, he's on top, he's on fire, he don't need anything. If you're on top and on fire, guaranteed you're going to be under fire from the enemy. Amen? The fire had went out. The fire had went out. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. It's not just the zeal. It is the manifestation of the Shekinah glory that attends the very manifest presence of God himself. What was on their head was not some little, look like if somebody flicked a Bic behind their head. A Bic, if you don't know, if you never smoked, is a little lighter thing. Or held a little candle. No, the fire that was on their head was the same fire that was on that burning bush. And it was the same fire that was about to go out in Timothy. It wasn't on his head, but it was in his heart. And he told him, stir up. Fan into flame. Take time to get in the Word, so the Word can get in you. Take time to pray. so God can begin to speak to you. Amen. So it can be a two-way conversation, not just crying out when trouble comes, but talking to Him. Have a dialogue with Him. These people did that in the Hesperides. They cried out to God, and God began to pour out His Spirit, and people began to come under conviction and come to know Jesus as their Savior. One lady's testimony, she had a son that was a hopeless alcoholic. He was also in with a bad crowd in and out of jail. Coming home from one of those prayer meetings, she looked over in a ditch, and there was a young man laying in the ditch. And she thought he had been injured. And she asked him to stop the wagon. There were several of them coming back from the prayer meeting, according to the testimony. She got out of the carriage, and she walked over to the ditch, and she saw the man wasn't injured. He was praying, repenting of his sin, and thanking God for saving him. He's down in a ditch on his face, praising and thanking God. And she, in the moonlight, she recognized his face as her son Tom. And she said, "Ah, Tom, have you come to Christ?" Hallelujah. And he said, "Yes, Mama, I have." Well, when things like that begin to happen, when the church is not just a big organized thing trying to get donors and supporters to take care of our projects, when we are actually after the Lord's business, hallelujah, and we want to see chains broken, we want to see lives changed, we want to see people destined for hell make a U-turn, can you say amen, and get ready to go to heaven, and we want to see the yokes broken through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the only one that can set the captive truly free. Hallelujah. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, it doesn't matter what the circumstances used to be, there is liberty. Can you say amen? Fan into flame. Find you a worship song that really turns you on spiritually. And don't just do it one time. Do it again. We got the cut and dry services. God start moving. But we got a time schedule. We got to stop at a gnat's eyebrow of 12 because everybody wanted to go do something more fun than church. Can you say amen? More important than seeking God for revival. We are the people that He's invested in. So we're the target of the enemy. We're the target of the enemy. Anybody ever flubbed up in anger, said something you ought not say? The devil's got it all down. He's got it all down. Oh yeah, he's got it down. And the next time you feel feisty spiritually, I'm going to pray and believe God. He's going to say, oh yeah? Who are you? And who do you think you are? Do you remember what you did? You're supposed to be such a great Christian. That attitude, that anger. Now you might have repented of it. But when you do repent of it, you tell Him on no uncertain terms. He's the accuser of the brethren. It doesn't mean to take any sin lightly. It means to take it serious enough to confess it and get rid of it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But when you do, I want you to know what happens to it. And I don't believe you'll use this as a cloak, this kind of grace as a cloak for maliciousness, a cover up for our malicious attitudes and our wrong attitudes. Friend, I can't afford unforgiveness. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let it go down. Why? Because there's an accuser waiting. He's waiting to point his accusing finger at you. There's one element that is primary. There's three elements all together. Now is the accuser of our brethren. Cast down that accuse them before God. He's relentless day and night. He won't just accuse you before God. Your conscience will accuse you. God gave you that so you would confess and repent and come to Christ. He gave you that so that when you come to Christ, if you flub up, that you will not stay down. You will get back up and get right with God. But the devil wants to use it against you. Conviction is to be welcomed by the Christian. Condemnation is to be rejected and resisted. Who shall deliver me? When I would do good, you see him in the struggle that we all face at some point between our flesh. He said, the Apostle Paul in Romans 7, when I would do good, evil presents itself. I'm trying to do the right thing, and here something comes along and pulls me into that. And he just got wore down, and this is a military term about morale. He said, I'm tired of the struggle between the flesh and spirit. I'm so tired. I'm trying. But every time I try, I flub up and I fail. And the devil wants you to quit. He wants you to just quit. Because he knows if you don't, a warrior's going to stand up with the army, with the armor of God, and become part of the army of God. And there are going to be victories wrought that hell can't handle. But as long as he can keep you discouraged and he can keep you disqualified, you won't use what God has given you. And he's counting on that through condemnation. So he says, finally, he's so tired of it. In Romans 7, it's a man under the law trying to keep the law without the grace of God. You can't do it. Paul didn't do it. Can you say, man, no one can? You know what the law was for? A schoolmaster to tell us how rotten we really are at the core. So we would come to Christ because you can't. There's none that doeth good. Reiterate.
Not one.
You mean not my precious, holy, great-grandmother? No. There's none righteous? Reiterate. Not one? You mean not even moi? Huh? Not even me? Are you kidding? No, I'm not kidding. Reiterate. Why did he reiterate it? There's none that doeth good. There's none righteous? No. Not one. So the Apostle Paul says then, oh, wretched, wretched. That same term is used in a great Christian hymn of the faith, isn't it? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I remember a man on our platform, as it was being sung, that song, Gerald was leading it. Or Sister Kathy, I don't know which time it occurred, but I remember hearing him mutter with anger, I ain't no wretch. I thought right then and there, I thought, man, you don't know what being lost is all about. You don't know about the wrath of God abiding on every sinner. You don't know. Without God, you're without hope in this world. You're a wretch. You're wretched. That's why the writer of Amazing Grace, who captained a slave ship and had done atrocities, that God could forgive him. I believe his testimony was that he was in a terrible storm and he began to think, what if he had to face God with all of those sins to answer for? The fear of the Lord came on him and he cried out for forgiveness. And to his amazement, God forgave him. How could God forgive me? I can't go back and undo some of these things. All I can do is throw myself on your mercy and grace at the foot of the cross. And it so took him back, he said, amazing grace. In America, it's become a given because we're not really all that bad after all. Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are rotten to the core until we're forgiven and regenerated by the Holy Spirit. The new covenant says, I'm going to do something that can't be done until the cross and the Holy Spirit is given. I'm going to take out the heart of stone, and I'm going to transplant with a heart of flesh. And I'm going to write my law upon that heart instead of the stone tables. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Stir up the gift that is in you by the laying on of hands. Stir up, fan into flame the fire that is about to go out for one reason, neglect. Don't neglect prayer. Don't neglect time with the Lord. Don't neglect the worship of God. Don't neglect the Word of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It all works together to cause that glowing ember to come alive. Ah, Tom, have you come to Christ? Yes, he did. So many people begin to get saved. They left the bar. People came under conviction in a bar. Now, you think the Holy Ghost is going to stay outside if somebody's praying for you? That he says, I ain't going in there. I ain't going to that bar. That old boy, just let him get drunk, and drunk as a skunk, and do the... I ain't going in there. Yeah, he is. He's going to come right in there. That beer is going to taste as good, and that whiskey ain't going to make you as high while he's messing with you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. People begin to come out of the bars, and a bunch of them got together and they came to the sheriff's office because they knew the sheriff was a Christian man and a church going man. And they said, can you pray with us? He wasn't a pastor. He wasn't a theologian. He had no PhD, but he had Christ in his life, and they were looking for somebody to talk to them about Jesus and tell them how to get right with God, because God was drawing them by the Holy Spirit. You've got loved ones in church, they're not drawn by the Holy Spirit. If they were, they'd get saved while they were there. Amen? If they are saved, they'd get delivered while they were there. Come here, you will be convicted. Because God wants to deliver you if you need deliverance. He wants to help you. He wants you to stand up and be counted spiritually for Him. Ask you this, did Timothy have a different Holy Spirit than you have? Was his different? He had a different calling, clearly. If you're not called to get in a pulpit and preach or go be a missionary, you are called to pray. You are called to intercede. Every Christian is called. Man didn't know what to do. They had a church and no preacher. But he prayed with them, and they prayed with tears in their eyes. And somebody said, we need a preacher to come down here. God is doing something. We don't need a name preacher. We just need somebody that'll come down and bring the Word of God so that people that God is drawing can hear the Word. Listen to what the Scripture said. How shall they believe? How shall they believe without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? How shall they believe without a preacher to tell them? And how shall he go except he be sent? Can you say amen? God uses His Word, and He uses the Holy Spirit. How shall they believe upon Him of whom they have not heard? Thank you, Holy Spirit. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they go except someone give Him a lot of money to say, no, except He be sent. Hallelujah. Here am I, Lord. Here am I. Here am I, Jeremiah said, send me. Glory to God. Holy Ghost said, separate unto me these people so I can send them. We're told to pray the Lord of the harvest that He would send laborers into the field. It's not just graduating from Bible school and finding out which church has the best benefits. It's being sent by God. It don't matter about benefits when God sends you. Everyone in this room has the same Holy Spirit that Paul had. Same Holy Spirit that was in Timothy. I said, well, how does he stir this? What does he use? Paul told him something because he felt like, and this is back to a message that you know is burning in my heart, a little faith goes a long way. Because the power of prayer is not in the person who prays. It's in the God who hears. But if you don't pray, you lose by default. You have not because you asked not. I want to heal this land, but I'm dependent on my people praying. Or not. I look for a man. God working in tandem. I look for a man. Why? He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. But I look for a man. I'm ready to bring judgment, but I look for a man. That's the authority. Before even the New Testament authority that is accentuated far more than they had. But I looked for a man among them who would stand in the gap, who would make up the hedge. But I found none. Well, why didn't he just, he wanted it done. Why does he need? Because he has decided to work in concert with his creation. And that's why the devil knows. If he can't find a man, he's going to judge him and I'm going to get him. But if he finds a man, it's all going to change. I looked for a man. I couldn't find anybody that would use their authority, that would stand in the gap, that would pray and intercede. So I brought judgment. But he said if I'd found that man, it could have been averted, it could have been avoided. A space of repentance would be offered. But the first thing he did is look for you and look for me. To put it in our contemporary time and terms. So don't ever intercede and think it's going to make a difference. Don't pray for kings that are those that are in authority. Don't pray for the election that's coming up. It ain't going to matter. Yes, it is. Yes, it does. Power, prayer is powerful. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the lost and the bound and the spiritually blind. The God of this world has blinded the minds of men lest they would do what? See the glory of the gospel and be saved. What is this warfare for? It's fighting for those souls who can hear what we say, but they can't see the truth of it. Because, and the word blinded, it's tufluo in the Greek. It means, number one, to puff up with pride. And number two, to obscure with smoke. You see through glass darkly, smoked bottle. This you don't see at all. If they don't see what you're saying, it don't matter what you say. This is intercession for these bound, blind people that are spiritually. Why did Tom come out of the bar and come to Christ? Because his mama kept on praying and believing God for it. So they sent for a preacher. He conceded to come because he'd heard there's already a revival. He took a boat. Then he took a carriage, and due to setbacks, he got into town on a weeknight at 10 o'clock. And he said, I know it's too late. I know there's no one at church, but can you put me in contact with one of the leaders of the ministry here? I have been sent for to come and preach. And they said, oh, it's not too late. He said, they're there. They're waiting for you. What? What? They're waiting for you. When God does it, when God adds to the church, when God moves by the Holy Spirit, things happen that could not happen with our programs and with everything we're trying to do when God moves. You know what's about to happen? I got to hurry. But you know what's about to happen? Organized religion is failing. Pentecostalism that just loves to have all the trappings of it without the manifestation of it. Amen. That it's all yesterday stuff that's outdated. We got it together now. We got a praise team and knock your socks off. We don't need the Holy Ghost to get a hold of you. Can you say amen? We got a sound system. Lord, have mercy. Just wait till you hear it. And did you see my tennis shoes I'm wearing today? Shoot. Everybody here going to be listening to what I have to say. Oh, yeah, there's preachers out there with $2,000 tennis shoes. Can you say, man, so that the young people say, wow, I want to be just like him. Get me some $2,000 tennis shoes. Can you say, man, listen to me. All of that is superficial. What we need is the supernatural. Can you say, man, if it's just driven by the beat, it's never going to be worship. I like the beat. I like to shout. I like to run. I like to jump. I want to be a hallelujah head to foot. But I want you to know we need the supernatural manifestation and the power of God. What got a hold of you in this service not too long ago, it wasn't the beat. It wasn't the praise team. It wasn't even the preacher in and of himself. Praise God, but the Holy Ghost came and said, I want you for mine. I want you for Christ. Can you say amen? What are you doing for Jesus with what you have from him? Behold, I give you power over all of the power of the devil. Can you say amen? It's time God's people begin to use that power and that authority. In my name, you will tread on serpents. In my name, you will tread on scorpions. Hallelujah. My wife said, snakes, oh Lord. This is not that kind of serpent. This is that old serpent, the devil. This is the demons that followed him and had become fallen angels and then become divested of celestial bodies and become demons. And we have absolute authority and power. He sent out 70 with the authority and power. And they came back rejoicing and said, demons are subject to us. He said, don't rejoice over that. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He's a defeated foe. I've faced him in battle and won that battle in your behalf. And through my name, you have full authority over him. And he well knows it. But you're going to have to use that authority. And you're going to have to stir up the gift. Demoralized Christians never stir it up. They let it go out and become impotent. They get discouraged. That's why that letter from Timothy. And while I was complaining of not having a Paul, I was reading out of Timothy. And the Lord reminded me, what you're reading right now? That's your Paul. I said, yeah, but I want him to come and hug me. I want him to come and love on me. He said, Timothy, I got your back. God said, you don't need him to get your back. I got your back. Better than Paul having my back. But when you get discouraged, you don't see any of that. Who did Paul have anyway? Who wrote him letters when he was discouraged? Amen. Did you ever see a letter to the Apostle Paul from the... No. No. But boy, he wrote a lot of them. And what he said right there, stir up the gift that is in you. And Timothy thought, I have no faith. See, a little faith goes a long way. It can stir up. It can fan into flame. These gifts operate by faith. Gifts of the Spirit operate by faith. And Paul told him, as we close, I know you have faith. How do you know? What? I've got faith. How can I be this discouraged and have faith? But see, he didn't want him to use the faith he had. The devil didn't keep him discouraged. He won't use it. He's got it, but he won't use it. I thought, well, how's that work? I just read a little further. Because there was faith in your grandmother, in the home you were raised. And there was faith, Eunice and Lois. And there was faith in your mama. So there's faith in your grandma who interceded for you. And I know there's faith in you. Why? Because you get it by osmosis. You rub shoulders with people with faith. No. And then it went on to say what was happening in that house where they got theirs and where he got his. From a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures. Faith cometh. And hearing by the word of the Lord. Can you say amen? From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation. Can you say amen? So Timothy, don't think your problem is lack of faith. It's your bewildered, broken down old spirit. Amen. But that can change. By faith, you can begin to fan the flames of the first love. The flames, praise God, of the gifts of the Spirit. They can become active within you again. You can stand up on your feet and declare the gospel. Hallelujah. Regardless of the circumstances. Hallelujah. No water in it. I'm going to pretend. Just for the record, I did that by faith. And boy, it was good water. Are you ready to fan into flame today? My wife is going to give me some water. Glory to God. She's got my bag. You know what they say in the military? And in the police department, I got your six. I got your six. If you're looking at a clock, the six is at the back side of the 12. I got your six in the police department means you're not confronting this thing alone. I got your back. Backup is here. In the military, you're not fighting alone on that battlefield. Your battle partner, I got your six. I got your back. And you know what God is saying to His true church today? I got your six. When the devil is trying to destroy you, defeat you, I've got your back. Praise God, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Everything that he's got going for him is no match for the one who's got your six. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I feel like drinking some water and shouting. In this room, I believe that God is going to raise up people that are going to pray again. I want you to pray for me. Believe God for me. Call my name. And I want to call your name. I don't want to neglect anybody in this room. I want to call you before the Lord. Because God is moving. God is answering prayer. Hallelujah. Let's get rid of the condemnation. O wretched man that I am. The last verse of Romans 7. He said, every time I try to do good, evil jumps up. I keep failing. I keep faltering. Oh, wretched man That word wretched in the Greek means wore out. It's battle fatigue. If you don't rest your army, if you don't bring in some fresh recruits to relieve them, they'll get too weary to fight, even though they've got the best weaponry in the world. R&R is not just for fun. It's to recover, refresh, so you can come back and fight to the victory. Can you say amen? And the Bible said we can have times of refreshing from the hand of the Lord. Spiritual renewal, revival, the bringing back to life of a corpse that threatens to die without something done to bring it back. Holy Ghost CPR works. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Before the throne of God above, you are represented. You have an advocate with the Father. And when you walk out of here today, you need to walk out with the confidence. If we confess our sin, He forgives our sin and cleanses us in the process. Can you say amen? And we can stand and intercede. We can stand and pray for our country, our kings and authority, those in authority. We can pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And it's not just some little formal thing. It is actual spiritual activity that will occur when we pray.